How we doing? It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Denzel Perriman from the Texans is going to stop by an hour from now. By the way, few things here, Hickey. So remember Harry Brockway, who yesterday said that he's going to be out in the desert. He lives there, and you're going out to the desert for a bachelor party this weekend, and you don't think it's going to be a big deal. No big deal, Hickey, that it's going to be 114 degrees, and I think you're crazy. Well, Harry Brockway just chimed in, and he said, Hickey needs to pump the brakes. The Ohio State is always ready and willing to put Penn State back in their place. So let me just ask you this after your fiery Penn State hype-up rant that you just went on that you basically do once a month. Does that mean now that Harry Brockway, who wanted to grab a beer with you or meet up with you in person, since he is now clearly showing that he's an Ohio State fan, does that mean you are not going to take any time out of your day to go meet a listener of this radio program and Harry Brockway?
Now, it may not happen anyway, but I will not say no to Harry just because he's an Ohio State fan. It's not his fault, I'm sure. And we can have a nice, healthy dialogue. So I don't shy away from haters. I don't run away from people who disagree. Harry, we can share a nice beer and talk about why Drew Allen is going to go into the shoe and kick their ass.
Okay.
Pleasantly, of course.
Now, Patrick Ferrell, who I get a bunch of tweets from, his Twitter account is Patrick8047867. Now, Patrick, I think, likes me, but there are times where I do believe he likes you more, Hickey, which is fine, because I do remember one time that he sent me a few tweets, like three or four, like back to back to back, how you're going to replace me one day here at CBS Sports Radio. So at first I thought that Patrick hated my guts, but then he has since tweeted me a bunch of nice things. He said to me today, he's on the Zach Gelb side here, love your imitation of Hot Take Hickey as a prepubescent boy hyping up Penn State football. Because you really do sound as if you haven't gone through puberty. When Hickey goes to this different octave when it's with his teams and he does this, let's go, Drew Aller's going to kick your ass. Where like you try to grunt, but your voice, which you've never been made aware of this until Boomer Esiason brought it up to your attention. Your voice, though, just crazily goes to a different octave like I've never heard before.
I can't help it. I'm not going to fake it. If you think that's bad, you hear me at actual sporting event. It is pretty high-pitched, I will admit. A lot of people
said that.
What do
you like at a sporting event? For example, ready? I'm going to give you the scenario. Now, just I have to say this to you. Do not curse, and you've cursed before on this show when talking about Russell Westbrook, of all people. I'll give you the scenario. 27-23. Penn State up against Ohio State. This game is in the Horseshoe, right, this year. Correct?
That is correct.
I fly you out to the Horseshoe. You have about 10 beers in your system. There's 35 seconds left. You're up 27-23. Ohio State is on your 5-yard line, and it's 4th and goal. What is Hot Take Hickey sounding like in the stand? And I'm very fearful to let you speak right now because I feel like this is what's going to get Hot Take Hickey canceled. But go ahead.
No, I'm not even going to try to imitate it because it's one of those things when you're in the moment, just let it go and truly just, I can't even try to imitate it.
Ready? Be aggressive. Be aggressive.
No.
Defense.
You may be right in the octaves being high. That I will not deny, but I'm not much of a defense kind of guy. I'm more of a let's go D, maybe kind of one of those before the play starts, but
let's
I'm not
go D.
Not a defense chant. I mostly kind of stay quiet when the play happens, and then a lot of claps, a lot of yeah, maybe LFG, you know, for those at home who can spell it out, you know what that means. I like to say I am respectfully intelligent. I will give credit if a good play is made. I'm not Mr. Homer. I can promise you that. If a flag is thrown and Penn State, whoever my team is, commits the penalty, I will be the first one to say, idiot on Penn State or the Colts or whatever for making that penalty.
You'll do the classic when Hickey has to agree with something, but it doesn't go his way. He'll do like the, okay, all right. You do that a lot. That's what I think you'll get.
But I like to think, I like to pride myself on giving. I will give credit if credit is due to the other team. Or admit when my team screws up, hey, that was on them.
You know what you are when you go to a football game? You are a prepubescent Sasquatch. That's what you are.
Sasquatch?
Yeah, where you have a hot, like, you vision a Sasquatch and it's like, Arr! But you're walking around, Penn State wins, we won the game, Arr! That, and you're just walking to the parking lot like
well,
that.
Well, actually, after the game is usually my best because usually I lose my voice, and yeah. So then it sounds deeper. So that is actually when I chirp the most because people then will think, wow, this guy's actually tough because he has a deep voice. When they don't know the last 3 hours I've been screwing my head off. So usually the end of the game, the beginning of the game is where I kind of had to check myself because that's when it's still vulnerable with the high voice.
So Jay Smith also on Twitter. This is the trifecta here. He heard our conversation yesterday about the heat in Arizona where it's 114 degrees and I'm saying, Hickey, why are you golfing at 12:30 in 114 degree weather? And you go, oh, the heat's overrated. It's not going to matter. You're going to be fine. So he tweeted me this morning, Ryan Hickey, you lost your mind. Drink water. Dry heat only means you don't realize you're sweating because it evaporates immediately. Zach Gelb is right. You're going to be going to the hospital, most likely. What a tweet to wake up to, Hickey. A tweet saying that you're going to the hospital because of the heat that you're going to be experiencing this weekend at a bachelor party playing golf in 114-degree weather.
Again, I don't know why people are rooting for now my death and my hospitalization. I mean, I don't know how I have brought out that much hate towards me, but this is what I can promise right here, folks. That didn't happen, all right? I'm drinking water.
No.
I'm going to be tougher than the cactuses right now that are collapsing because of the heat. I'm going to out-tough the heat, outlast the sun.
Stop.
And I'll be back here on Tuesday without a hospital visit.
Wait, you're off Monday?
Yeah, I'm coming back Monday.
Oh, who's producing for me then Monday?
I don't know. I haven't looked at the schedule. Hey, I'm off Friday and Monday.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Got to fly back.
Oh,
going
man.
To Arizona.
This isn't good. They haven't told me who's producing on Monday. Uh-oh.
So I will be here Tuesday without a doubt in my full body without any extra IV. I'm not cheating. No IVs.
You know your track record isn't good on this stuff.
I know myself. I will be fine.
As the controller of the Hickey Hex here, for the safety of Hickey, I am waving the Hickey Hex here. I am negating the Hickey Hex. So what Hickey's saying, we don't throw that into the Hickey Hex world where whatever he says ends up going wrong. Because I don't want to be looking for a new producer because you passed out and you're in some hospital in Arizona. I'd only want to be looking for a new producer if you ended up getting that DA job and you end up producing DA. So if I look for a new producer that way, I'm fine. I don't actually want to see you get injured.
Same. And that's why I'm preparing to go in there. Listen, I'm going to respect the sun and the heat. I'm not going to just be dancing on their grave and taunting Mother Nature. I will have a healthy respect for the heat and the sun. But also, I'm just going to go in there knowing I'm going to come out alive and win this battle.
Gotcha. Also, you must get me cactus candy. I flippantly said that yesterday. I need you to just pick me up some cactus candy because I didn't try it when I was out there and you forgot. You dropped the ball there. So I need you to bring me back some cactus candy. I'll reimburse you for it.
I will try my best to remember.
Oh, that's a no.
If you text me, I'll remember, yeah.
All I'm saying is I just got to make sure that it's actually the right day of the week here. My birthday's Wednesday. A little cactus candy on Wednesday. Wouldn't be a bad thing. My birthday is Wednesday. Now I sound like Peter Schwartz. Hey, by the way, I'm not begging Boomer Esiason to go get me tickets. But Boomer, I'm going to the Hall of Fame. I don't have tickets to the game. How weird was that, by the way? Peter Schwartz comes into the studio on Monday in a Joe Klecko jersey. And Peter Schwartz goes to me, like, right before he's doing the update, hey, I got something for you. And the thing he had for us is, oh, Boomer got me a Joe Klecko jersey and got my family tickets to the game? Like, I love Boomer Esiason. Boomer Esiason is a great coworker, great human being, all that stuff. But why the bleep would Peter Schwartz think that I would care that Boomer got him a bunch of free stuff and also a national audience would give a rat's ass that Boomer got Peter all this free stuff on a family trip that they were taking. Like, nice, but why'd we have to bring that up on the air? Why did Peter feel compelled that he needed to bring it up on the air and thank Boomer and Gio on this show of all shows? That didn't make sense to me whatsoever.
Here is what I think Pete was going for. I think he wanted to make some sort of gesture, and instead of paying money for the tickets or the jersey or whatever, he said, you know what, I'm going to give him a shout-out on national radio. Maybe they'll hear it, and
no,
maybe
won't.
As a thank you for the national shout-out, they'll, again, be more inclined to give him some sort of gift or Jets swag or maybe tickets to opening night against the Bills, stuff like that. He, I think, had an angle or a motive of, I'm going to try to stay in their good graces, so here I am throwing their names out across the country on national radio as a sign of my thanks to show how great they are, but also show how great I am by thanking them on national radio.
Like, he barges in here to the update. He's like, I have to thank Boomer and Gio. Like, what? Just because they got you a bunch of free stuff? All right. Text them. Write a letter. Leave it here. Thank them. You don't need to publicly thank them on this show. There is no one. Peter Schwartz has really no shame. He has no shame whatsoever in trying to ask something. Or he doesn't even ask. He just does that thing like, for example, like if you brought in some pizza. Like, let's say you brought in a pizza pie. Peter Schwartz would be the guy, man, I'm really hungry. I didn't have anything to eat, Ryan, as you're holding 8 slices of pizza. Because naturally, you know, you would give him a slice of pizza. It's a nice thing to do. And he knows how many tickets Boomer has, right, and all the connections. So he just goes, oh, Boomer, I don't got a 4XL Joe Klecko jersey. Or, oh, Boomer, taking the family to Canton this weekend. I think I'm going to spend $100 for tickets. That is the ultimate. I think I'm going to spend money for tickets, a.k.a. Boomer. Just give me the tickets. Go get me the tickets for free. It's really crazy how he's no shame.
I used to think it was cringeworthy, but maybe he's the one who's laughing last after all. He's getting the hookups. He's getting free swag. Well, we're out here being the suckers paying for things.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll do a news brief coming up in about 10 minutes. By the way, this portion of the show is sponsored by the United States Postal Service. I'm sure they had to use USPS to get Peter Schwartz's Joe Klecko jersey. Introducing USPS Ground Advantage, reliable and affordable 2 to 5 day package shipping, the United States Postal Service. Real quick, there's a name here that is missing, and I don't get how Fox is missing this name. So a bunch of Fox sports staff, I guess, got asked who are the top quarterbacks in the NFL, and they have Patrick Mahomes as one, okay. Joe Burrow is 2, Josh Allen at 3, Justin Herbert, he's at 4. I think that's too early, but he's a top 8 quarterback in the sport. Jalen Hurts at 5. Hurts should be in front of Herbert. You have Rodgers 6, Lamar Jackson 7. Now, Hickey, a few weeks ago we were doing a segment, who are the best quarterbacks in the NFL top 10? I said the first 8 are non-negotiable. Whatever order you want, within reason, but you need to have these 8 names. Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, and this is no order, Herbert, Hurts, Rodgers, Lamar, 7 of the 8 names that they just gave you. Their 8th name, though, was Dak Prescott. Now, I know Trevor Lawrence got screwed his first year in the league, but Trevor Lawrence just made the second round of the playoffs and really his first real year in the league with a competent coach, and Trevor Lawrence is a flat-out stud. So you want to put Dak in front of Trevor Lawrence? I vehemently disagree. But there's 3 more names on this list, and I guess with the way that the votes tallied up, they had 3 guys tied for 9th place. Those 3 guys were Kirk Cousins, Matthew Stafford, and Jared Goff. You want to tell me Matthew Stafford's healthy? All right, he belongs in the top 10 conversation. Jared Goff, not a top 10 quarterback right now. Kirk, you can make the case 9 or 10, but not with Trevor Lawrence on that list. It is inconceivable to me how they put this list out there and Trevor Lawrence was not in their top 9 quarterbacks and actually top 10, because then they say the runner-up was Russell Wilson.
Can I interrupt very quickly?
Yes.
We have found and stumbled upon a controversy.
They messed up?
I am looking at the article you have open. I believe it's the right article from 2023. Number 8, Trevor Lawrence.
Okay. So I just clicked on this article, and now I see that.
It does say updated
They updated it.
3:55 p.m. Eastern.
Because let me tell you, they were getting slammed. They updated. Look at Fox. That is slimy. Because they have the tweet out there that they published at 2:23 p.m. And they did not have Trevor Lawrence in there. And then all of a sudden, everyone's crushing them for not putting Trevor Lawrence. And I read through this article because I knew that the runner-up was Russell Wilson. But they didn't have originally 10 spots. They did not. In this case, they put 10 spots. So either they just forgot about Trevor Lawrence and he was supposed to be on that list and they messed up the graphic and then also the article, or this is what I think is more likely, Hickey, they were getting roasted and they just said, okay, we got to slide now Trevor Lawrence in there. And it's very convenient. Where do they slide him in? They slide him in that eighth spot when everyone's saying, how the heck do you have Dak Prescott in front of Trevor Lawrence and you put him just above there? Your thoughts?
You would think that they would at least update the graphic. The graphic's still there. I'm looking at the graphic
on
Twitter.
Yeah, it's still
there. They tried. They got caught, but they tried to sneak it in, update it on. It doesn't even say, by the way, where it says updated at the top of the story, not even where Trevor Lawrence is at number 8, so you know that's
like, hey,
the update they made.
Up.
They put in very small words, updated.
And you know what's so lame now? People make mistakes, and you get torched on Twitter. And I understand that, right? It's happened with me where I give an opinion and people have slammed me. If you it's a ranking. You're allowed to have your opinion. Now, I can think your opinion's stupid. But when people cave to the mob and go, oh, I'm getting torched for not having Trevor Lawrence in here. Let's just slide Trevor Lawrence in here. That's even more gutless and idiotic. Yeah, you don't want to put Trevor Lawrence in there. It's stupid. I don't really have much of a leg to stand on, but then after getting slammed, you're going to just try to slide him in there? You're better off just deleting the article and deactivating the link, honestly, instead of just trying to slide Trevor Lawrence in there, if you ask me, Hickster.
Yeah, I'm going to hope over. I mean, I don't know how you would say it. I don't know. I got nothing. I usually, you know me, try to not defend, but try to see what the problem is.
Yeah, sometimes naive.
I got nothing there. Outside of stupidity and outside of, oh boy, this list is really bad. Let's just quickly make one small update. No one will notice. And oh, look at that. What are you talking about? There he is right there, number 8. You guys are idiots.
Peter Schwartz is on the line. He's trying to ask for a free Trevor Lawrence jersey just because we were talking about Trevor Lawrence. Is that right? Peter just called
the
hotline?
I'm sure Duval is listening, and they are helping you out right now.
All righty. We will take a break here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio News Brief. Thanks.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All right, we know more changes are going to be coming to college football. The question just is, when will they happen and where are these teams going to go? Florida State Board Chairman Peter Collins from yesterday says the current ACC grant of rights won't prevent the Seminoles from leaving the conference. This via warchant.com.
We have a very good handle on what our risks are under that document, what our opportunities are under that document. And that's the least of my worries. Based on what we know. So when I say we have a good handle on it, I mean, we understand it. We have gotten a lot of counsel on that document, and that will not be the document that keeps us from taking action.
Seems like, Hickey, they're saying, if we want to leave, we'll leave and nothing's going to prevent us.
They have dug in deep, and they have found out it's worth to leave. So yes, there's nothing the ACC can do.
And Peter Collins says the gap in revenue between the Big Ten, SEC, and then everybody else is just too wide.
Take the TV revenue out of it. You know, we're fourth, I think, in both conferences in the amount of revenue that we generate. But once you throw the TV contract in, that gap is massive. And when the gap gets that large, you know, is it insurmountable? And I think I said at our meeting in February that, you know, it's almost impossible to make up that gap. And I think A.D. Alford said it's impossible. And he's not wrong.
Hickey, I know that this is not what the conversation's about, but when you keep on talking Florida State, I like their football team headed into this year. It's just going to be, what are they going to look like after the first 4 weeks of the season? Where a lot of schools schedule cupcake games, they have LSU right out of the gate, and I really like this LSU team. I think they're the second best team in the SEC right now. All right, then you get Southern Miss, then you get Boston College, but then you do have Clemson, and that game is at Clemson. If they're 3-1 after those four games, you could set yourself up to have Florida State potentially only having one loss in the season. Because after that, you play Virginia Tech, Syracuse, Duke, Wake Forest, Pittsburgh, Miami, North Alabama, and Florida. If you drop, let's say, closely, the first game of the season to LSU, let's say you lose by like 4 points. That was a one-point game last year, if memory serves me right, with the extra point, right?
Missed extra point.
Yeah. So if you lose that game within a touchdown, and also it's better to lose earlier in the season rather than later, and you have one loss, and you win the ACC, could be a college football playoff team.
Their college football playoff odds will probably, for the most part, be decided in the first month. They're 2-2, they're done. If they're 3-1, you read the schedule, they shouldn't lose again. They should be 11-1. Probably 12-1 after the ACC title game, and they should, that's the point. That point should be good enough to make it.
And if they beat LSU and they beat Clemson, you talk about an undefeated team going into that conference championship game. I think they'll lose one of LSU, Clemson. And for them, it'd be better to lose to, actually, would it be better to lose to LSU? I guess so, just because it's in conference. But you could have a chance at the end. Could you have a chance at the end of the year, right, to play them again?
No, same division.
Oh, same division. Although, that's right. Did they get rid of it? I thought they got rid of that.
I
got
to double check. I'm not. I apologize. It's so I am tough. Confused.
You go all over the place with this.
Yes. I think they did not. I have to double check. They could play him again. So if they lose to Clemson the first time, if that's the case, obviously then get revenge. You're good to go.
For some reason, I don't know why. No, yeah. The ACC to eliminate divisions starting with 2023 season. This is an article from June 28th of 2022. So just double check that and see. That's why I threw it out there. But double check that for me if you don't mind. But you look at it, yeah, you'd rather beat Clemson, but man, at the end of the year, you know LSU could be right there in that conversation. Former Florida State player Drew Weatherford says Florida State needs to leave the ACC.
Unless something drastic changes on the revenue side at the ACC, it's not a matter of if we leave. In my opinion, it's a matter of how and when we leave, you know, and not everyone may agree with that, but I feel really strongly about it because I don't want to play games. I want to go compete for championships moving forward. That's what Florida State is about. And unfortunately, we're in a situation where money matters more than ever. And you cannot compete without the resources necessary.
He's not wrong, right? Florida State's one of those brands where if the ACC is turning into kind of one of those Power 5 conferences that are more so associated with the have-nots, there's some brands there in the ACC that would be attractive, especially for the SEC and then also the Big Ten as well. Let's go to Florida State's president, Rick McCullough, who says there's only one thing the ACC could do to keep the Seminoles from leaving, and this courtesy of the Florida State Board of Trustees meeting.
We love the ACC. We love our partners at ESPN. our goal would be to continue to stay in the ACC, but staying in the ACC under the current situation is hard for us to figure out how we remain competitive unless there were a major change in the revenue distribution within the conference, in the ACC conference itself.
So translation, they're gone. Once they get an offer to go join another conference, Hickster, they're definitely leaving.
Yeah, I don't see NC State or Virginia willingly giving their portion of the TV revenue to Florida State to make sure that they're happy and they're going to stay in the conference.
Let's go to Jerry Jones on the ticket in Dallas on what he's most excited about in a Mike McCarthy-led offense.
It's Dak friendly. The offensive line is going to be able to protect him better. Their spacing is narrower, which is conducive to protection. He's going to have more opportunity to dump the ball off to the back. He's going to have less to do before the snap and less to read after the snap. Receivers are going to be less dependent upon reading the D-back and Dak reading the D-back, and it's going to be more about being at a spot where they should be. The combine of all of it, and all of it is adjustments, not dramatic changes, but are adjustments. When you combine it all, then I'm confident that we're going to be excited about how it protects Dak and how it actually helps efficiency for Dak.
So basically, they made everything easier for Dak Prescott. So if it's easier for Dak Prescott, Dak Prescott should be able to find a way to get the job done this year, where he hasn't been able to the last two seasons on a big playoff stage up against San Francisco twice when the defense was awesome. And those games were still close. If it's easier, you'd think that should put the Cowboys over the top, right? And find a way to get them over the hump. Now, that's the way that you would assume, you would think, based off Jerry said, but I don't think anyone's picking the Cowboys this year to go on this great run to a Super Bowl. They'll probably win 11, 12 games again, be battling out with the Eagles for the NFC East. Eagles will probably win the division. And come playoff time, you'll have a drama Dallas choking Cowboy moment because the quarterback is a good quarterback, not a great quarterback. I've seen this before, Hickey, where I've heard it's talked about. I don't think this was just repurposed. I think this was in a new interview, so maybe it just got brought up, like things get brought up again. But this is from our pals at Part of My Take. Dan Campbell says he wanted a live lion mascot on the sideline.
You said that you had considered getting a pet lion on the sidelines?
I did. I would say that Sheila she had no problem with it, but the league apparently frowns on those type of things.
Roger Goodell,
I'm not going to point out Roger on this. I'm just going to say that the league frowns on that. Let's just say that.
So I don't see what the purpose would be to have a live lion on the sideline. And I know that this has been talked about before because we've had this conversation before. Like, Hickey, you love that with all the college football teams when they have the mascot, the live version of the mascot there, like the bulldog on the sideline or a bull or something like that or a buffalo with Colorado. I think all that stuff is stupid. And you're playing with fire, and eventually the wild animal, even if it's in a cage, is going to do something stupid or something's going to go wrong. I don't need a lion on the sideline at a Detroit Lions game. And people say, shut up, you're not fun. I am fun. I think it's stupid to have a lion at a game. Really stupid.
That would be sick. I'm in for it. I would not put on the sideline. They're crowded. A lot of people there for NFL sideline. A lot of credentialed media, photographers, players. Put it like in a concourse, in Ford Field, build a nice exhibit. LSU has built a beautiful exhibit for Mike the Tiger. Do that. Mimic that. Put it like in the west corner of the end zone so fans can go visit it throughout the game. Maybe, if they score a touchdown live to the, I don't know what you would call them. That's what we got to figure out a
good
name.
The Lion Den?
Lion Den, but I'm saying, we got Mike the Tiger at LSU, so I'm saying we got to have a good name for the Lion. Like, it just can't be the Lion Den or the unnamed Lion. I'll workshop a name for
you. Maybe we'll have you do maintenance staff there, and it'll be like Anchorman when you fall into the line. Then,
well, that won't happen. I will not be in the
anywhere
close.
You're like Nigel Thornberry. You talk to the animals.
I like animals. I love animals. I will not be clean in the cage, especially if the unnamed lion is in the cage.
You'd be good at scooping up poop.
I don't think so. I really hope that I'm not a good poop scooper.
Or you'd be throwing out corn. You'd be like Mike Brown. Or you'd just be throwing out corn to all the animals.
Look, I think this is the time. Capitalize on the height of the Lions hype. Live Lion, it's worked out great. Bevo at Texas is tremendous. The Buffalo, you mentioned the Buffalo run. The Buffalo run is iconic.
Stupid.
Could you imagine if they had a lion on a leash running the team out of the tunnel?
Yeah, it's
I don't
stupid.
Think they would ever lose a game at
the
home.
The Lions would be the team, and you know what? I know betting runs rampant in the Lions organization. I would bet that the Lions would be the team to get the first player ever like eaten by or bitten by a lion.
You had the lion lead you out of the tunnel. I guarantee it. Undefeated
that's,
at home.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Jordan Love is frustrated with the early offensive struggles.
Yeah, no, it's very frustrating. I think we're all pretty tired of it, but you know, kudos to defense. But obviously, it's disappointing as offense, you know, collectively as a whole. It's definitely an area that we need to step up and figure out how we can turn that thing around.
You like that early on by Jordan Love? I appreciate the transparency. Now, the Packers have some names on their defense, but if the defense is really shutting them out, I hate to, you know, throw a dark cloud over that season because I've been pretty optimistic and it's practice and you try to get better with things in practice. But, like, what are we doing here? You can't really have that, you know, any success so far? It's that bad? It's that doom and gloom right now?
I've not heard a lot about Jordan Love. I wonder if there's a reason for it.
Tua Tagovailoa says he used jiu-jitsu to avoid hitting.
I got hit from someone in the front of me, but I sort of hit a little somersault going backwards and I flipped backwards. It was cool to see because now when we start to do that, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing that we're doing jiu-jitsu falls.
I'm so confused there. I am more confused right now than a Mike McDaniel press conference where I'm always confused. I know what he's doing and it's been talked about, but I don't understand anything he just said right there, Hickey.
I think he's illustrating how the jiu-jitsu helped him fall properly. I think it's, well, allegedly working.
Play that again.
I got hit from someone in the front of me, but I sort of hit a little somersault going backwards and I flipped backwards. It was cool to see because now when we start to do that, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing that we're doing jiu-jitsu falls.
So when a big defensive tackle this year hits Tua Tagovailoa, he's going to be doing somersults?
Well, it's like the way you fall, right? And that's, going back to last year, he got concussed because he fell on his back, right? And the back of his head slammed on the ground. He's just illustrating right there. He got hit from the front, was pushed back, and the way he was able to teach himself how to fall, it's like you almost fall and do a reverse somersault where, like, you fall, have your legs kind of keep the momentum going, and you almost, in a way, roll over and land on your stomach so the back of your head never slams down on the turf again.
So now he's going to have an ankle injury. I know he's already had those ankle injuries, back injuries. He got to do a somersault and break an ankle down instead of slamming his head into the turf. That's what's going to happen.
Seems like practice is working so far.
All right.
Season karate lessons.
I know you're a big believer of the Tuanon, and I've been a supporter of the Dolphins heading into this season, but I was lost throughout that whole clip.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, we'll take some calls right now. Figure out the auto parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Coming up in about 15 minutes, first and goal. We'll preview the Texans today with new Texans linebacker who's been in the NFL since 2015, Denzel Perriman. Let's go to Hayden in Alabama next up on CBS Sports Radio. Hayden, what's happening?
Hey, Mr. Zach, how you doing?
Doing great. What do you got for me?
Yes, sir. I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, and I would like to know what are the odds that we make the playoffs this year?
I think it should be a realistic goal for the Browns. The team on paper is absolutely loaded. My big concern, though, with Cleveland, and clearly it goes without being said, great division. Bengals will win the division. You have an AFC, then you're only looking for three spots in the wild card, and there's so many good, worthy teams. I believe that there's going to be friction between the quarterback and the coach, and the coach knows he has to make the playoffs for him to probably keep his job. And in a crazy way, Deshaun Watson has all this power, and I don't know how much Deshaun Watson loves Kevin Stefanski. So I look at the Browns as a team. If you tell me they go 10-7 to make the playoffs, I wouldn't be surprised. But I think they'll just miss out on the postseason this year.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And I just wanted to say that I get to listen to your show very seldom, but sometimes I get to listen to it on the road. But I appreciate your show, and you're really good at what you do, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate the compliment, Hayden. Thanks so much. And anytime you want to listen, you know where to find us. Let's go to Dan in Green Bay next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Danny, what's happening?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, couple concerns about what you're saying about Jordan Love and concerns about Jordan Love and the Packers in general. First of all, Jordan Love, I think I'm a realistic Packer fan, and I think most Packer fans are realistic. We're not expecting to go to the Super Bowl this year. So,
hot take, by the way, Dan.
I mean, I think we're realistic. Unlike Bear fans or Viking fans who always think they're going to the Super Bowl and never do. It's interesting in the sense that, yes, so far in training camp, Jordan Love has not defeated the defense in the regulator that you would want. At the same time, the defense is pretty stacked. There's like 8 first-round picks on that team. If anything, you should be worried about, you know, how the defense performs here, because I think they've underperformed.
They have. And Kenny Clark, when he was on with us a few weeks ago, he even said, we have all the pieces, but we got to be more consistent. There's no doubt about that. They have to be more consistent. And you got a big name in Kenny Clark up front. On the back end, I like Jair Alexander a lot. Like, that's the thing with the Packers. The Packers are obviously going through a change because you don't have Aaron Rodgers anymore. But I don't call this a rebuild, because on both sides of the ball, there's talent. Defensively, we just went through it. And offensively, I think Christian Watson's going to be more like the second half Christian Watson in the first half. You have Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon in the backfield. And you just got to hope that up front, Bakhtiari and Elgton Jenkins stay healthy.
Yeah, I look at this as more of a reload than a rebuild. But this year, I mean, we've got 2 first-year tight ends. We have 3 second-year wide receivers who are going to be the primary targets, who have never had Jordan Love as their quarterback. There are going to be growing pains here. The matter of fact, as far as I look at, so heck, I just looked at our schedule. If we win 7 or 8 games, I'm fine with that. As long as I see improvement with the team through the year, and if the defense doesn't perform to expectations, Joe Barry should be gone.
I hate to say that wins and losses don't matter, because that just stinks to hear. But for the Green Bay Packers this year, the number one thing in determining success isn't how many wins you do have. It's more so at the end of the year, do you walk away feeling good, and do you feel like Jordan Love could be the guy? And here's the thing, Dan. I don't know what Jordan Love's going to be. I don't. But I'm rooting like heck for that guy, because even though him and Rodgers are in a good spot now, and Rodgers is handling everything perfectly now away from the organization, and I get it, you don't want to be woe is me, the guy still got drafted in the first round, but Jordan Love didn't ask for any of this. Jordan Love didn't ask to replace Aaron Rodgers, and Brian Gutekunst made a move, which at the time was very unpopular and extremely controversial, and by association, people then trashed Jordan Love for it, and I thought Jordan Love the last few years handled everything in a professional and as perfect of a way as you can. And because of the way that he conducted himself and he handled himself, I really do hope that this guy goes on to have a successful NFL career. Let's go to our pal. Is this the Scott in California, Viking Scott? Scott, what do you got?
You know what? Scott,
you there? Scott. Your phone line right now sounds like the Vikings in the playoff. It's performing horribly. I couldn't hear a word that Scott was saying, which concerns me for the regular season, Hickey. Because obviously we could do this show easily. We like Scott in California's call, but it's not like the show's going to be a disaster. But you know Scott's going to be calling each and every Monday after the Vikings game to try to tell us the Vikings are the greatest team in the world. And I think that's now the last 2 times Scott's phone line has been a little bit shaky. So as Christopher Mad Dog Russo used to say, nicely produced. I'm just teasing you. Let's go to Brandon in Green Bay. Brandon, what do you got?
Hey, Zach. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to say, first of all, I want to say I'm a huge fan of your guys' show. And I think the Packers are being disrespected. Most of the media are picking them to finish last. I think if they could fly under the radar and make the playoffs, I think Jordan Love is going to be pretty good. Now, I don't know that for sure. And one more thing I have to say is, I think a team that nobody's talking about in the Big Ten that could be potentially be really good, and I like their new head coach, and they've got an exciting team, and the tech transfer looks like crazy, is the Wisconsin Badgers. They have one of the best running backs in the country that nobody really talks about.
Yeah, Luke Fickell, I think, is going to do a good job there. The problem is, when you look at the Big Ten, I only really need to look at three teams this year. Now, I know it's one division up against another division, and that change isn't coming yet until next year. But in terms of going to the college football playoff, you can get two teams maybe for the Big Ten this year. The only three teams I really need to be overly concerned with in the Big Ten, Michigan, Ohio State, and also Penn State. I don't think, Hickey, are a lot of people picking the Packers to finish in the bottom of that division? I would think, right, it's Vikings, Lions fighting for that one spot. Whoever you don't go one ends up going two. And then I think most people are still putting the Packers three, and then the Bears in there at four.
Yeah, unless I'm not looking at the right places and maybe reading the wrong stuff, yeah, I think the Bears are still the consensus fourth pick in that division.
I think that's our fault. I think we're the trendsetters here. Kenny Clark comes on this show. We ask him, do you feel like you're getting disrespected? And he said 100%. And you know, as Packers fans, are really loyal to the players. Kenny Clark says that. They set the tone and they go, oh, we're getting disrespected. Everyone's like, bleep us. We're dead. We're done. We're finished. We're going to be nothing this year. So we probably blame content from our show in terms of the Packers getting disrespected. Coming on back, we'll preview the Texans. Denzel Perriman, Pro Bowl linebacker, will join us.